Wow. He got old. This is what I thought to myself as I was scrolling through social media a number of weeks ago. I saw a friend who I hadn't seen in over a year, and he did not age well. And I kept scrolling, and I saw another friend from the same region, and he too looked very old. And I thought, what is in the water that these people are drinking to make them look so old? And I realized, ah, this is the Face app. This is something that changes your face and ages you by 30 to 40 years. It's a fun app. It's an app that can give us a different perception of who we are, a different perception of what we look like. And sometimes we can have false perceptions of our own goodness, of our own strength, of our own abilities. And we see in this text, as we read about the rich young ruler, that he had a false perception of himself. He didn't understand that his wealth and his power would not buy his way into heaven. We have a larger text this morning, so what I would like us to do is I would like us to break it up into smaller chunks. So rather than read through the whole thing, we'll take it passage by passage. Our first passage will be from verses 17 through 22. Verses 17 through 22, follow along with me. And as he was setting out on his journey, that is Jesus, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We see that the rich man did indeed have a false perception of himself. And we see him, he's running to Jesus. Jesus is on his journey. He's going towards Jerusalem. And the rich man hears that Jesus is around, and he wants to talk to him because he has a burning question in his mind. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" What a marvelous question. A question that we perhaps long and pray for, that someone would ask us that very thing. They would come up to you and say, "What must I do to be a Christian?" And how would you answer that? You might say, well, you must turn to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You might say, repent and believe the gospel. But Jesus didn't say that. In fact, if Jesus were taking an evangelism quiz, we might say, "Jesus, you failed." Because he doesn't say any of those things. He says, "Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? Only God is good." Many people use this passage to say, see, Jesus is saying only God is good. He's here admitting that he is not God. But in fact, he's doing the exact opposite. He's saying, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Do you truly believe that I am good? Do you have a true understanding of what goodness actually is?" When I was in high school, one of my favorite things to do was to go get the mail. I had a large family, and I loved getting out of the house, and sometimes that was the only way I could do it. I would go and get the mail, and I had an elderly neighbor who would mow his lawn, or I swear he would sit and he would watch for me to come out. He would come up to me and he'd say, "Aaron, how are you today?" And I would say, "I'm good." He goes, "Ah, only God is good." I would smile, turn around, and roll my eyes. But my issue was the same issue as this rich young ruler. He didn't truly understand what goodness was. He wanted eternal life. But did he understand what eternal life was either? Do you understand what eternal life is? How might you describe what eternal life is? Well, we don't have to because Jesus does it for us. Not in this passage, but in John 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus, the night before his crucifixion, is praying to the Father, and he says this in verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You want eternal life, you must know the Father, and you must know the Son. You must know that Jesus Christ is indeed God. And so Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And then he lists off the second table of the law, the last of the six commandments. He says in verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. He says these things to this young man. And if Jesus says these things to you, you would have to be honest and you would have to say, I have not kept all those things. Indeed, I have sinned, and many of them. But this young man doesn't say that. He says, all of these things I have kept from my youth. Every single one. Now, of course, we know that's not true. But what we do know by how he answers this question is that he's really not all that intelligent. He thinks he's good. He thinks he knows Jesus. He thinks he understands what eternal life is. And he thinks that he's kept the law. But we know that Jesus has a much broader view and understanding of what the law actually is. And this rich young man had a very surface level of what it means to keep the law. Jesus, in Matthew 5, when he's talking about the law, has said, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I, Jesus, tell you this, if anybody looks upon someone with lust in their hearts, they have committed adultery. Do not murder. If you hate your brother, you have murdered him in your heart. We also know from James 2, verse 10, it says this, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. So, perhaps this young man was a very moral person. Perhaps he kept most of the law. But what we know is if you fail at one point, you are guilty of the wrath of God. And indeed, this man had failed. And Jesus says, after he says, I have kept this from my youth, Jesus says to him in verse 21, and Jesus, looking at him, he loved him. And he said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So we see this young man run up to Jesus, and he wants to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He has a works-based mentality for how he does receive the kingdom. And Jesus, it seems, is giving him a works-based method of inheriting that kingdom by saying, go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Is this what Jesus is doing? Giving him a works-based entrance into the heaven? No. Because what Jesus is doing is he's putting his thumb on the pulse of this young man, knowing the very sins that he has, that he wants to follow God, but he has a false God in his heart, the God of wealth, the God of possessions. We see in verse 22, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The young man came to Jesus full of energy, full of enthusiasm, and he leaves disheartened and sorrowful. And you can imagine the disciples with Jesus. This young, affluent man, potentially a leader in the synagogue, some say. How great would it be for this guy to be a follower of Jesus? Think of the influence that this man could have. But alas, Jesus has different plans. And this leads to a discussion between the disciples. In verses 23 through 31, follow along. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold now and this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is water, not coffee. I'm not that trendy. So after the young man leaves, you can picture the scene. He's walking away disheartened, and Jesus turns around and he looks at his disciples and he says, "How difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom." He goes further to say that it's